Where can I go from the Spirit of God? Where can I flee from His presence? No matter where I go, no matter where I end up, God still is hard after me. Going, and it's not just me. It's everybody that He has called. Thank you. I want to look at Hebrews 6, verse 1. Actually, Hebrews 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Maybe as you're turning to that. Wednesday night, we talked about a goal that I may know Him. So, from Philippians 3. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made like Him, even in His death. You know, if I could just have that goal, if we could... We could say, you know, that's what we want. I want to know Christ. The power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made like Him in His death. And we talked in another session about needing to be repentant. Recognize when God's Spirit is speaking to us and saying, God, I want to turn. I want to be thinking like You, acting like You. Being a repentant believer, that's how we enter the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And part of that call is to live a life of forgiveness, forgiving each other. And then when we have dysfunction in our families, we bring it to the Lord. We bring people to Jesus. So tonight, as I look at Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3, I'm going to read from the NIV. I should have clarified this earlier in the week. I had planned to bring down my New King James Version Bible, didn't bring it down, so it's been NIV all week. So that's what we're going to do again tonight. The title of the message is, Let Us Press On. Let us press on. And I hope we can be encouraged by this tonight. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. I think another translation says, and this we will do if God permits. Go on to maturity. Let us press on. Now, I think there have been times, I know there have been times as I've read this, I see that list and I think, wow, those are very important things. What do you mean? We're not supposed to lay this foundation. We're supposed to go on to maturity. So I think this passage here is calling believers, it's not saying neglect the foundational things, but let's not just spend all of our time on the foundation. You got to get the foundation right, but you want to press on to maturity. There's an upward step that God is calling us to. So I want to encourage specifically Shiloh Mennonite Church, but everybody who is here tonight who's not from Shiloh, I hope this can be an encouragement to you too. Specifically the church here, you know, you have a history, and God has done and is doing things in and through this local assembly. So give God thanks. Look for opportunities to just lift His name and say, thank You, God, and press on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of these things, which we actually have to do. We have to teach these foundational principles. But if we stay in this, we can sometimes start nitpicking on the little things. And God is saying, you know, let's not just stay here. Let's keep pressing on to maturity. I think that's part of the message here. Go all your way. Go all the way in your love for Jesus, in your love for the Word, in your love for each other. So many times, we get this sense that, yeah, I want to do this, and we get distracted, or maybe something happens and a hurt builds up. Maybe somebody offends us and we pull back, or maybe we feel like God has let us down. And so there's this maybe stepping back. You know, keep entering in. Do this. I want to encourage you in that. Go all the way. I know when we hear about all of the circumstances in the world, we hear these are the last days. And I think it could be. You know, it could be. I think somebody has been telling people around, I don't know, there's been word around here that, what is it, November of this year, something major is going to happen, or maybe next year, some people are stockpiling. Maybe. But right now, we have opportunities to love God and love people. And we've never had, I don't think we've ever had in the history of the Christian, in the history of Christianity, we've never had so many opportunities to have the Word of God with us, to study the Word of God, to make it known. You know, we have so many opportunities. We're in a great time to spread the Word of God and to love God and to love people. Even though Jesus may return this, you know, he may return tonight. He may return tomorrow. It might be next year. There could be a great catastrophe. We could have an economic collapse. You know, all kinds of terrible things could happen. But right now, we have opportunity to press on. So let's make the most of that. Let's not give up on that opportunity. I want to encourage you in that. You know, two challenges we do face. According to this passage, I think we could say, one challenge is that we would have a weak foundation. We wouldn't even have these foundational things of faith in God, of repentance, of baptism. We would not have instructions about laying on of hands. We would not even know or believe in the power of the resurrection. We would not even be concerned about eternal judgment. If we don't have those foundations, we're probably not going to even go on to maturity. So let's not miss those things. That's a danger. I think that's a challenge we face. But if all we do is hang out there and start bickering about what level is this, what level is this, when we should do this, you know, I think some churches split over whether you baptize in running water or whether it should be regular water, you know, still water. You know, running water or water, passive water. What do you call that? And there's many other splits that have happened, I've heard. You know, when we get that, we almost miss this opportunity to go on to maturity. Let's press on to maturity. Not forgetting the foundational things, but let's press on. You know, how do we describe this awesome God? Nothing is beyond him. And this analogy breaks down pretty quickly. But let's just consider that if we would make an analogy that God is like a river that has no source and it has no end. And we're standing here, and this river of God is flowing by, maybe in front of us. We're on the bank, and we're observing this river. And God says, I'm all you need. But we're afraid. We don't know if we want to jump in. You know, let's jump into the kingdom of God. Let's go all in. There's really nothing that I could sell to anybody better than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is all we need. The power of the Holy Spirit can direct us. We don't have to hold back. Let's jump in to this kingdom of God. Catch a vision for it. The kingdom of God is within you if you have the Spirit of God in you, and there is a way that you can embrace it and you can jump in. Let's press on to maturity. Move towards growth in Christ. Service for the kingdom of God. Jump into the river. Don't hold back. I know sometimes in the life of the church, sometimes in the life that I have lived in church, there have been some disappointments. And I was actually asking our congregation, before I did this, I talked to some relatives, not from this area, don't worry, they were from relatives from somewhere else. And I asked them, what do you think about my seeking the counsel of the church if our family should be involved in a church plant somewhere else? And the one relative said, don't do it. The people in church are only thinking about themselves. Don't trust the church. They'll just end up hurting you. And I felt kind of sad about that. You know, I know where he's coming from, because there's been some hurt. There's been some kind of rejection that he's faced. But I want to believe that Christ is building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it's worth it. It's not just about me and Jesus. It's about me and his church. So even if we are a dysfunctional church, even if sometimes people don't seem to really care as much for me, as I press on to maturity, I think the only way it's going to keep going up is if I'm jumping into the church. It's messy. I heard, I think it was David Pallinson was describing his idea of the Christian life. I don't always agree with his ideas here, but he said the Christian life is like a stairway and a yo-yo. And the yo-yo is you, and Jesus is holding the yo-yo, and he's walking up the stairway. So you're at least progressing. You're going up and down, up and down, up and down. But you're in the hands of Jesus, and you're going up the stairway. You know, I at least want to be going up the stairway, and I want to be in the hands of Jesus. I think the yo-yo part probably is true for me. I'm kind of an up-and-down guy. But let's keep pressing on to maturity by the grace of God. Let's do that. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to all of the people, "If anyone desires to come after me," what's next? "Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me." I want to wake up in the morning and say, "Thank you, God, your mercies are new." That's a good thing. But I also have to say, "God, show me what cross you want me to bear today. I want to bear it with joy. I want to bear it with dignity." Let's press on to maturity. I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to ask the Lord to give you a deep, burning heart for prayer. Individual prayer, corporate prayer, small group prayer. That's my prayer for our congregation. I really don't feel like we're there yet. I feel like we've kind of lost some. We just had a 25-year anniversary celebration about a month ago. And your church has, what, 6 more years, and then you've got a 25-year coming up? So what seems to be one situation in our church is the prayer was really a big thing at the beginning. We had all-night prayer meetings. We'd pray from 8 in the evening till 6 in the morning. Sometimes go off in a corner and sleep and then wake up and pray some more. But then people weren't coming as much. So you break it down to 7:30 to 12, and people weren't coming. So 7:30, 11:30, and it just wasn't quite as much. So we started praying about our prayer meetings. And I think God is answering some of those prayers. But devote yourselves to prayer. Press on to maturity. And this word that God has given, it doesn't, you know, it. We want to hear the instruction from other people, but God wants his children to open the word, study it, learn it, teach it, memorize it. Let's press on to maturity. It's such a privilege. When you hear people like Brother Yoon tell their story at age 15 or 16, fasting for 100 days, only eating a little bit of rice every night, and crying out to God, "Give me a Bible," you realize, wow, I have all these Bibles. Do I have that yearning for the Word of God? Let's press on to maturity. I think that will show up in our evangelistic fervor. We see somebody and we ask them, "Do you know Jesus? Are you born again? Do you want to know the Lord?" Have that evangelistic fervor. I want you to turn to Romans 15:13, and this is an encouraging verse. I know sometimes when I read it, I think, you know, Paul must have had a lot of faith. It was almost like he was speaking into existence what was not. Because when he wrote the book of Romans, it was instructing them on some things that they weren't doing that was right. But here in Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's his prayer. I pray that God will fill you with hope. You can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then go to verse 14. I think that's the verse I was thinking about. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. And I want to encourage you in that. You know, in this congregation, God has given gifts, and He has placed them in you. Not just this congregation. Even if you're a visitor here, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have committed yourself as a repentant believer, then God has given you gifts. Use them. And you have something to offer. You are a person of influence. You can influence people. It's amazing how much we are people of influence. You don't have to be somebody who stands up here and preaches from this beautiful pulpit. You are a person of influence. And God, by the mercy that He's given, by His Spirit, can give us ability to instruct one another, to influence one another for the Lord. So let's press on to maturity. Let us press on. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So that's something that we can hold on to. It's a command, it's instructive, but it's also encouraging. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him, so we don't have to worry, we don't have to be afraid. And in case I forget, I want to mention something about that. I've been thinking about this for myself. So this is not a, you guys need to learn this. This is a, I'm learning this, consider it for yourself. If I am sitting in a congregation and I'm hearing truth spoken and I think, I don't know if I should say amen because somebody might think I'm being proud or being holier than thou. I don't know if I want to say hallelujah because I've never said it before. Or I don't want to say praise the Lord because they might think I'm a little bit excitable. If we actually suppress that in the gathered assembly of believers, I think that actually makes us a little less likely to praise the Lord outside, because if we can't even do it in an assembly where people love the Lord and love each other, then when we walk out the door, it's kind of a big bad world out there, and it almost shuts it down even more. So I'm considering that for myself and trying to be a little bit more expressive. Now, I'm not saying you all have to do it, but at the very least, don't turn around and look at somebody when they say amen. Okay, at least start with that. So we can have a little more expression in the churches. And again, I'm not saying that just for this specific church. I'm saying that I'm learning that myself, and maybe we could learn a little bit more of that. I didn't even have that in my notes. Sorry about that. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Recognize His authority. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them. Teach them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded. Remember that if you have received the Lord as your Lord and Savior, then Jesus is with you. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." You don't have to be afraid. Amen. Amen. Look at that. I shouldn't have looked at you over there, you know. Remember that Jesus is with you. Receive your power from the Holy Spirit. Receive it. He says, "All power in heaven and earth has been given to me." And He says, "Therefore go." And he gives that power. Receive it. I think sometimes I do ask, "Lord, where's the power?" But we can ask the Lord for that power. We can say, "God, I want to glorify you. It's not that I want to have anything for myself. I want to be humble before you, but I want that power that you have." And be witnesses for Christ. You have something special. God has given you very much. be a witness for that. And for this congregation, support those who have gone out. I talked about, you have Les and Tanya in Mongolia, and at this point, Stephanie is in Cambodia, right? And Dwight and Donna are up in Greenville. And the school teachers here at the school, that's a ministry. I was blessed to see the congregation rally around your ministry team here. It's not an easy fight sometimes. It's a blessing. I've told people when they ask, well, what's it like being a lead pastor? I said, you know what? It's kind of tough sometimes, but it is so good most of the time that it's not even fair that I'm here, and I better give it to somebody else pretty soon because it's not even fair for me to take the blessing. And I'm pretty sure I'm saying the truth there. Is that right, Jerry? You think so? No, it is a blessing. It is a blessing. And I'm glad that you guys are rallying around your leaders with that. Let's pray for each other. Not just on, what's that called, Clergy Appreciation Month? I'm not really sure who came up with that. It wouldn't be bad if we'd say Clergy Appreciation Year 1 year. But if you want to just do it 1 month, that's fine too. I want to just thank the Lord for some victories. I tell people that I am blessed beyond words and too wordy to deserve to be blessed. I've got that one patented, but nobody's copyrighted it yet. Because God has given so many things. So I want to encourage you to be willing and able to speak of the good things God has given, even the little things. Pray for the little things. Pray for the big things. And when God answers the little things, and when God answers prayers for the big things, speak of them. Glorify God's name. Recount to your children and to the people around you the good things God has done. Don't be afraid of that. When I moved to New York back in 95, I got a job. Somebody directed me to a place I could get a job. I think I was teaching at a Korean after school, and I was going around taking pictures of houses and getting paid for it. So that was kind of neat. And then I couldn't have my car anymore because it was costing me too much money. So I left my car in Ohio and just rode the train, and I thought, I need a job. So I walked down Casino Boulevard in Flushing, New York, in Queens, and would go into all these businesses and introduce myself, and nobody wanted to hire me. And after a while, I started getting discouraged. I came up to one bank, and the lady said, you can fill out an application. And went in, actually filled out the application. Then they called me and said, hey, we're taking a test. So I was able to be a bank teller for 3 years. God provided that. And at the end of my schooling, I think it was around the year 2000, that job that I had, I left and was able to become a school teacher. So I want to thank God for just a little provision like that. You know, I was praying about it, and I went out and, you know, kind of did some shoe leather on it, but God provided a job for me. And when we went to move from Flushing to Brooklyn, my wife and I were trying to figure out what we should do. We needed a 2 or a 3 bedroom apartment, and we didn't really want to pay $1,000 a month. So we thought, well, we're going to walk around the neighborhood, knock on doors. Hey, do you know if there's anybody who has an apartment? And we found a 3 bedroom apartment on the top floor for $850 a month, which is actually pretty good for that neighborhood. There's a lot of stories that go with that apartment. We end up having to move because they were getting gas illegally off the street, and the guy who had me sign the lease didn't even own the house, and I was paying him money. So that was kind of a strange one. I think Brianna was little, maybe 2 years old, and at night he would turn up the heat, and one time she was crying, and she wanted water. We went in there, we checked the temperature, it was 92 degrees. This is January. And then in the day, we'd have to bundle up, and her nose was all red because it was 50 degrees. You know, so major fluctuations of temperature. So you'd say, whoa, did God really provide that house? Well, you know, the people in that house we are still friends with today, and almost every night our children pray for them and say, God, I pray for, and they mention this family, that they could become Christians. So there was a connection there that God gave. And I want to just thank God for that. You know, he provided something. And we weren't there very long, but there's been a relationship with those people that's gone on for another 12 years. So thank God for that. Little victories that we have. I have some neighbors who are still not believers. And there's one neighbor named Charlie who I keep praying for. I keep asking the Lord to work in his life. He's about my age. I think he's 5 days older or 5 days younger. I can't remember. But he doesn't mind saying some strange things. Or even just requesting some strange things. I was at the church at 10:30 one night about 5 weeks ago, I think. And I get a call from Charlie. Richie! Hey, Charlie, how you doing? Hey, do you have any charcoal? They turned off the gas in my house. I couldn't pay the bill again. I'm hungry. I've got some chicken here. I want to barbecue something for my wife. I said, you want it right now, Charlie? Yeah. Could I come over and get some charcoal? I said, well, I'll be home in about 10 minutes. Okay. So I come home and get the charcoal, and he comes out, and he talks to me for about an hour, from maybe 10:30 to 11:30 at night, and just kind of spilling his guts. I wasn't really feeling that happy that my neighbor called me at 10:30 for the charcoal. But I want to thank God that even when you're in a situation that you're not really too excited about, God opened up the door. I don't think I talked that long about some of those things ever. But he had a need, he called me, and felt comfortable asking me for it. And since then, he's been bringing me food. He'll bring me some soup, and then he'll call me up and say, how did the soup taste? And we've had some good back and forth with that. So I want to thank God for that. You know, a little opportunity to relate with a neighbor. There's another neighbor across the street who came. I was out with the children. Actually, I was late, and I was frustrated. I try not to get frustrated when we get late, but sometimes it happens. So we're sitting there with the children, and I was late, and the neighbor walked across the street. If I hadn't been late, well, I would have missed the neighbor. So I need to stop getting frustrated about being late. He came across the street, and he said, could you help me? This past summer, I was in Florida, and I had, over the course of several weeks, 7 different heart attacks, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to die, and I want you to help me to be prepared to die. So there aren't that many opportunities that I get on any given day for an elderly, this maybe 58, 60 years old. I shouldn't have called him elderly. Somebody a little bit older than me. But I've realized that he has a lot of needs. So I'll get text messages from him. I feel terrible today. Could you please pray for me? And I'll get a series of text messages. I just feel so, the world is just out of control. Can you please help me? And so it's almost been a little bit more than I figured on. But I want to thank God for that, because somebody saw that I want to help out, and he came over and asked me for help. I want to give God thanks for that. I'd like us to turn to Luke 12, 32 through 48. Now, I know if you read the practical people, they say that these were words from Jesus to the disciples, and these are not for Christians today. So this, if you ask yourself, how shall I live? Well, this is probably not how you should live. But I think there are instructions in here that Jesus gave to his disciples when they went out that we should consider. What is God asking us today? So I'd like to read that. I believe that God has great things in store for his people. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I think when he said, I will build my church, I think he was saying it's about that confession that Peter made. Blessed are you, I tell you that I will build my church. I think that's how he said it. And Jesus had just said, you are the Christ. Peter had just said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So if Jesus is going to continue building his church, which he will, part of it is we need to be confessing Christ. We need to be making that confession If we're going to be a part of it, then we want to be confessing Christ. If we don't, somebody else will. So they'll just get the privilege of being a part of that. So here's Jesus. He's sending out his disciples. And I want us to consider some things in here. Luke 12, 32 through 48. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. You know, just picture that. We're never surprised when Jesus comes. That's an amazing, you know, when we hear company coming, we run around and we try to get things ready. We throw things in the corner. Welcome. You know, here it says, when Jesus comes, we open the door and we're just so glad to see him. That's the image right there. So that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose a servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And I thank God for all that he's given me. But I need to recognize that, you know, he's given blessings. And so he's asking me to kind of be that conduit. You know, thank you, God, you've given me so many blessings. I want to just give them out. You know, this conduit of the grace of God, extending the grace of God. Let's do that. Let's press on to maturity. Let us press on. When you ask the Lord to lead you to a soul, when you ask the Lord to lead you to somebody, the Spirit of God wants to prompt you. And that's a good thing to pray. You know, get in the habit of praying that. Press on to maturity, but ask God, show me who you want me to minister to today. There are times when I have received discouragements. There was a brother, somebody who came to faith through the ministry in Queens College. Another brother and I were walking around talking to people, and we got to talking about this guy, and he was very receptive to the Word of God. He had actually had other brothers who were sowing the seed ahead of time, and he came to faith, was baptized, joined the church. His name was Alfred Chang, and I miss him. Because he kind of walked away from the church. He moved to another state, and he started just saying, you know, I don't think God is really hearing my prayer. and got a little bit angry, I think, with God at some life circumstances. So that's discouraging. That can be discouraging. But, you know, I can look at other people that have come to the Lord and are walking with the Lord, and I can say, thank you, God, for that. So if we can look at those blessings that God has given and say, thank you, God, and if we look at the discouragement and say, God, I'm disappointed in this, show me your encouragement. Show me what you have done. There are times also when I think, God, I'm not sure if you even really prompted me to speak to these people. I was on the train some time back, and a guy came on who had, I don't know how much metal on his face, but, you know, studs and piercings, and there it was a lot. And he had it on his arms, too. And I thought, I should just go ask him, who told you to do that? So I kind of sidled up to him and said, how you doing, sir? You mind if I ask you a question? Yeah. Who told you to put all that stuff on? Nobody told me to do anything. I said, okay. And I just kind of walked away. I felt really weird. Like, why did I do that? And that was one of those non-victories, you know? You walk away and you think, okay, that one just didn't really happen. There was another guy, though, who was on the train recently, and he's speaking on the phone, and I felt God saying, you need to talk to this guy. And I thought maybe he was speaking Arabic, so he hung up the phone. I said, excuse me, were you speaking Arabic? Are you Muslim? Actually, I was speaking Malayalam. I'm from India, but no, nice to meet you. So I missed the Arabic completely. And then I asked him if I could speak to him about some spiritual things. I'm interested in talking to people about Jesus. He said, well, I'm an atheist. So we had about 45 minutes on the train where we could talk. And at the end, he said, you know, I mean, as we were kind of progressing in the conversation, he said, I'm really more of an agnostic than an atheist. So we actually got a little bit further. You know, he didn't say there is no God. He just doesn't know if there's a God. So, you know, you start progressing down there. And I feel grateful for the chance to share with this man. It wasn't a wow experience. It wasn't like he dramatically gave his life to the Lord. But that's a little victory. You know, I want to thank God for that. So let's ask the Lord to direct us to people. And sometimes we might even just feel like fools. But God might want to just, maybe that's something that he's trying to teach you that day. Get rid of your pride. You know, I've read somewhere that you have to treat everybody as a prospect, and sometimes you have to work through the ones who are going to say no until you get to the one who is. So there might be 10 people you have to talk to before you get to the one who's right for the gospel. Let's press on to maturity. Let's be ready to share our faith. I want to encourage you to be thankful people. Thank God for what he's given, for what he's doing. Sometimes even the struggles you have to thank God for. Actually, it says be thankful for everything, not just in anything. In Ephesians it says be thankful for everything. Be thankful. And I want to encourage you to bless each other. And I think I want to just end with that. I want to pray. No, I'm not going to pray yet. I'm going to give you a chance to do some blessing. Somebody sometime back, I should have asked Sandy who gave us this idea, but there's something called good gossip. And I should clarify this. The good gossip is when I hear something good about Lee from Brother Wagler. Are you Donnie?
Ronnie.
If Ronnie says, yeah, Lee did something really good, he helped me out here, then if I hear that good report, next time I see Lee, hey, you know, I heard some good gossip about you. Oh, really? Oh, Ronnie. Ronnie said that Lee really helped me out there. You know, it doesn't take that much to share good gossip, but it can really bring encouragement to people. There's somebody in our congregation who, she doesn't really take a straightforward encouragement. She needs to work on that. But she doesn't really trust it. She thinks people, when I say, hey, you did a good job, she thinks there's an ulterior motive. But if I say, hey, she told me that you did a good job, she'll believe it. I'm not sure why. There's probably some problems going on there. But sometimes it's good to hear from other people what other people have been saying about you. So share some good gossip. So today, I want to start a little cycle. Maybe, I don't know how many we'll do, where maybe I'll pick on you, Jerry, first. Think about somebody you want to just bless, somebody that you want to say, you know, I really thank God for this person. And maybe just share a few things, you know, maybe a couple sentences, not a paragraph, not a page, a couple sentences. I got to tell that to the preachers, right? Oh, but before I ask you to do that, though, I want to bless you, Jerry. And I've seen you, I think especially as you open the Word of God, I see you getting really excited about the Word of God and wanting to share it, wanting to open it up, wanting to explain it. And I'm really encouraged by that. So God bless you in that. I'm really encouraged with that. Now, who do you want to pick on to bless? I had a chance to do this some time back, but it's been a while, and I'd like to do this again at our congregation, because we should just do this sort of like regularly, like we should just wake up and want to bless people. But I think the encouragement and the blessing for me doesn't just come naturally. I don't just like overflow with desiring to bless people. So sometimes I have to like train myself to do it. Let's do it. Let's press on to maturity. Let's bless each other. You know, we have to rebuke each other sometimes. Sometimes we have to instruct each other. Sometimes we have to say, you know, that hurt. But we can always bless each other. I think we should seek those opportunities. Make the most of those opportunities. I'd like to pray for you as everybody here, not just Shiloh, but everybody's here. So let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this chance to consider your word. Thank you for all the good things you've done. Nothing is beyond you. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? I can't go anywhere because you have your hand down and you want to call your people to yourself. And I thank you for that, Lord. I'm not afraid of that. I thank you for it. And Lord, I pray for this congregation, for everybody who's here, not just Shiloh Mennonite Church, but the ones who've come to visit tonight, the ones who've been here throughout the maybe couple nights. And I ask, Lord, that you, by the power of your Spirit, would come in and minister to the needs that are there. And Lord, if you put your finger on somebody and you say you should ask somebody for prayer, give them the courage to do that. If you put your finger on somebody's heart and say you need to go get help in this area, give them the power to do that, I pray. And then for many of us, we might hold back, maybe be a little bit afraid to step out. Give us courage. We don't want to walk in fear or kind of stepping back. We want to move into your presence and into loving others. And we can do that. This we will do if you permit, and I believe you want it to happen. So I don't think there's really even a question about whether you don't want it to happen. I'm just praying for that to happen. I pray, Lord, that you would bring a spirit of prayer among these people, that they just call out to you and be so free to ask for things. And to keep asking for your glory to be revealed. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God.